Coming up, a two-part staggered Sunday podcast. The NFC over-unders are next. We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network and theringer.com, where you can find just a ton of fantasy football content, including the Ringer Fantasy Football Show. You heard those guys on my podcast on Tuesday talking about our favorites. It was the My Guy second annual fantasy draft. They're doing sleepers and last minute takes on their podcast as well. We also have the Ringer Fantasy Football Guide, which you can find on theringer.com. Lots of predictive stuff. On Ringer NFL Show, Shiel and Solak were banging out their division winners and playoff teams. Solak went about as chalk as I've ever seen in my life for the AFC. I was really disappointed. He's young. He doesn't know any better. We also have the Ringer Gambling Show, where the East Coast Bias guys have been covering a lot of that stuff. Sharp and House come back on Friday to preview week one. And we have Against All Odds, as we announced on Thursday, coming back to the Ringer Podcast Network. And Sal is going to be creating a weekend preview show called Cousin Sal's Weekend Winners that launches this Friday on FanDuel TV. And then you can hear him and Tate on... It's going to be Tuesday mornings running as a pod and on FanDuel TV as well. So stay tuned for that. Speaking of FanDuel, we have a boost that we talked about, I think in part two, San Francisco, Kansas City, and Philadelphia, all to make the playoffs, which was minus 118. Our friends at FanDuel have boosted that to plus 130, and you can find it Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday on the app. So if you want to jump on that, we would recommend it. We think those are all playoff teams, especially San Francisco and Philly in the NFC, which is weaker, which we're about to discuss. So you can check that out. I think there's a three-day window to jump on that. You can find a bunch of great boosts and parlays as well and futures, and we helped out. I think there's going to be some Ringer-specific futures that we put up there as well. So there you go. I'm not going to talk about Team USA on this podcast. I'm not going to panic because they lost to Lithuania. Tough day for the Austin Reeves Hive, though, because they were punishing him. Lithuania beats the USA team, and they were punishing him down low. They had to take Reeves out. So Reeves went from, like, it was a big three with Davis and LeBron to, uh-oh, you can post this guy up? I'll be interested to see what happens the rest of the tournament. But little, you know, the USA didn't need the game, so they were playing a bunch of players. I think when we get to the actual knockout round, which starts on Tuesday, you'll see the rotation shorten. And I'm not too concerned, but it is just amazing to watch these other countries. We've been saying this for 15 years, but to say the other countries have caught up is an understatement. Canada is just legitimately good. And then you watch like teams like Lithuania and Latvia, and it's just everybody's got a couple NBA players. And they all know how to play together. So I think this next week of the World Cup starting Tuesday is going to be really awesome basketball. And unfortunately for me, it's on early in the morning. Too bad. All right. It is time. The NFC over-unders with Cousin Sal. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, Sal, we're coming out of the gate with your favorite division, the division that has tormented you, brought you great delight. Hey, could have brought you a little more joy, I think, over the years than it did, maybe.
A little more.
Decent amount of joy, but maybe a little more over the years.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is the favorite. Their over-under is 11.5, plus 104. So there's been a little action on the under. They are minus 115 to win the division, plus 330 for the conference, and plus 800 for the Super Bowl. Plus 330 for the number one seed. And if you think they can go 14-3, that's plus 420.
Who thinks that?
Well, they went 14-3 last year. They're absolutely loaded. I did my player rankings, and you know, they had 13 guys plus an above average coach. I said this on a previous pod. I think Hurts is my favorite MVP pick. He's either 12-1 or 11-1, wherever you get it. If you look at his stats last year, where they didn't play a bunch of fourth quarters. He missed two games, and he was still almost like a 3,800-800 guy. He's their rushing guy in the goal line. He's basically Josh Allen with less PR.
He's the guy that gets pushed. And
he gets pushed in.
Yeah.
He has the best offensive line in the league and up there with best weapons. Running back's probably the weakest spot of the team, but even then, that's the easiest spot to fill.
I don't want to go backwards because we did the AFC already, but yes, Hurts is a good pick, but I still say just keep betting Mahomes every year.
Just take him every year.
What? Just do it. We talk about that all the time. You get 6-1, 6-1 on the Chiefs, 6-1 MVP, Mahomes, and you know, instead of a what is it, annuity? What is that fund that people have that we don't squander all their money gambling? Just do that.
It's definitely not called an annuity for this. What are the Mahomes MVP odds right now?
I thought it was 6, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and then by like week 2, all of a sudden it's like plus 130.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know that's going down.
Immediately changes.
But Hurts is a good number 2, I think.
Oh, Mahomes is on, FanDuel right now it's 6-1. Yeah. Allen's 7-1, Burrow's 7-1, Herbert's 9-1. Then Hurts is 12-1 as we're taping this earlier before the season. But I don't know why he does them the same odds as anybody else. What is the case against this team other than schedule and Super Bowl hangover?
All right, there's a few. First of all, if they went under, we're looking at they're under 11.5. If they went under, 11-6 is very good for a team that lost in the Super Bowl. Super Bowl loser hangover is a real thing. Almost always lets down.
Didn't happen with Cincinnati last year.
Okay. All right. Take that out.
No, no. It was one of the few times where it actually didn't happen.
Right. I know. That's what I didn't mention. But no back-to-back winners in the NFC East. Yeah. 19 years. They lose both coordinators. And their stats-wise, it's almost impossible to duplicate what they did. Even defensively, what they did. 70 sacks last year. And the next best was 55. And they lose a couple of those guys, right? I know it's all about Jalen Hurts. And this time last year, we were probably debating whether or not he's the right fit for Philly, right? Or did you have them going far?
No, we talked about that was the big question mark with them last year was, what are we getting with Jalen Hurts? What are we getting with this coach?
Mm-hmm.
Those were the two things. And both of them turned out really well. I think the Jalen Carter piece, I love the preseason stuff with the hype. And
sure.
When the teammates start talking about guys, Darius Slay had this like paragraph long rave about Jalen Carter. He was calling him baby rhino. He was like, this guy's absolutely a problem. But he just did it in a way where you're like, oh, this guy must be really good. Cause this is like a monologue about how amazing this guy is.
Right.
And they basically got the number one pick in the draft who fell to 9 because, there was an incident in classic NFL fashion and he just kept dropping. And then in classic NFL fashion, you get to a point where it's like, all right, this is too far. Somebody's got to take him. Right. So they end up with him. And it's a huge X factor. I don't feel like this is a normal Super Bowl hangover team where you're just basically adding the best guy in the draft. Then if Nolan Smith's good too.
Well, they lost 7 starters. Let's not forget that. That is tough. Like I said, both coordinators. But this Philly Bulldogs thing they're doing is really nuts. So now it's Deontay Swift, Carter, Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, right?
Yeah.
It's really, and is that the secret? Like, why even hire scouts? Like, quarterback's another thing. Take the kid from Fresno.
Belichick used to do this at Alabama.
Yeah, just take interior linemen and interior defensive players who have started for 2 years for the Alabamas, for the Georgias, and you really probably can't go wrong. So they're doing that right. That GM is a genius, but I still think 11-6 is a good measure for a team, with so much going on in a division with 3 playoff teams and tough first place schedule, right? Minnesota at Tampa Bay, not that great. And at Kansas City, 3rd toughest schedule in the league.
I think their offense is going to be incredible. Like they do have the best offensive line. They do probably have the best 1-2 receiver punch unless you wanted to throw the Cincy guys at me.
Yeah.
But Smith and Brown probably have the championship belt for that. Goddard's the best all-around tight end. Hurts is no worse than the 5th QB in the league. So you could say, all right, they don't have the same offensive coordinator. Maybe that's going to hurt them. But I just think they're so loaded on offense. And could the recipe be what happened last year where they just get these leads? The best thing they have is the pass rush. So now that now they're up 14 in the 4th quarter. Those guys are just like, killing whoever and they're finishing
the game.
I can't
argue. I can't say they got lucky last year. They blew everybody out. They were a tour de force. So you have them at 13?
So I have them at 12-5, and I'd be willing to consider 13, which 13 plus wins on FanDuel is plus 210.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 12-5 with the schedule, they're catching New England really nicely in that week 1 where New England's offensive line, I still don't even know who's starting.
Yeah.
It gets a little dicey at the end. One of the interesting things, and this ties in with the Giants over-under too, they play the Giants week 16 and then week 18.
Right.
And they might have everything wrapped up because it's either them, Dallas, or San Francisco. We agree those are the 3 teams, right? I don't see anybody else unless the Packers just catch this crazy schedule wind and all of a sudden they're 10-1 or something.
Those are the three favorites.
But I think those are the three. And there's a chance Philly, you know, if anything happens to the other two, that Philly just has this locked up down the stretch, which would help the Giants. I just don't see any world where they're worse than 12-5.
No, unless somebody gets hurt. Don't see any world.
I think somebody has to get hurt. World.
But their over-under is 11.
I know.
All right.
I just think they're a 12-win team. They have too much talent.
All right.
And I'll say this with your team. Your team, the over-under is 9.5, and it stayed that way. And it's got a huge minus sign on it now. It's like minus 165.
That's stupid.
I don't know why your over-under is not 10.5.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
So let's move to your team and we can compare and contrast.
Well, first of all, real quick, because I will throw an Eagles prop at you, which is good on FanDuel. Jalen Carter or Nolan Smith, defensive rookie of the year, plus 550. That's pretty good. Two bites of the apple there.
That's pretty good.
Or the cheesesteak, however you want to do it. But my team, 9.5. It won't move. What'd you say? It was minus 162 is the over?
They must. I think when there's so much money on it, they are almost become afraid to move it because then you can just try to middle it and
the
get
other
it
way,
at 10.
I've seen a couple of them move. I thought the Ravens moved the actual
they
number.
They should move it. I think that's too low. Your defense is going to be awesome.
Listen.
Hey, like the fact that you added Gilmore.
Right.
I thought it was one of the most under the radar things. He was awesome last year. He was like 2019 Pats
Absolutely.
Gilmore last year.
Absolutely. Gilmore, they pick up Cooks. I mean, they're probably going to have the best set of corners with Diggs, Gilmore, this guy Bland in the slot. But Kellen Moore out, that's what worries me a little. Mike McCarthy announcing he's calling the plays.
Yeah,
that, they're going to so run a lot more.
Yeah, that's like, worrisome.
What else? Are we going to run to the left? I mean, he's giving away way too much information.
We're going to run to the left more.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody know you're lined up on the wrong side, defense. But listen, we were damn good last year. I know it's comical once we get to the playoffs. 12 wins. We knock out Brady. We forced him to retire. The guy was never going to retire if we hadn't beaten him in the playoff game. And they lost to an excellent 49ers squad. So, okay, talking about them as a regular season team is different than talking about what's going to happen in mid-January. But I do like them over 9.5. Like
well, you're the best defensive player in the league. I think Parsons has the belt now. Unless you want to give it to Chris Jones, because Lombardi has the whole thing out. He thought Chris Jones was the best guy last year.
Really?
It was either him or Parsons. Donald, who I think everybody thought was the best guy, but that team, whatever.
They're so young, 13.5 sacks. You know, they lock up Diggs for $97 million. He has 17 interceptions in the first 3 years. They have some real ballers on defense.
Parsons' defensive player of the year was like plus 450. I don't know why he just wouldn't be in the mix every year.
Yeah.
Because he just destroys games. I mean, we're never seeing LT again, but...
But things could open up for
him,
too.
It's a semi-LT-ish impact.
Right.
And you just have a shitload of talent. Schedule, you're playing AFC East, NFC West. So you have two easy NFC West games. And then who knows, maybe someone will stink in the AFC East. But to me, 11-6 minimum. And you're going to have games where the defense just wins the game and you don't even have to do anything. Yep. It has nothing to do with the playoffs. You know, it's like what we said about the Bills. Like you can be a really good regular season team. Right. It might not mean anything. But I don't see how you're not one of the best three teams. I would have loved to have zagged against it, especially with McCarthy. Like, give me the car keys. It's McCarthy time. I don't trust Dak, as you know. I thought Dak was not good last year.
Do you not think he's a top eight quarterback? Like, you wouldn't put him in your top eight?
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, man.
I don't
look at his numbers. Like, last year was just a weird year.
I'll tell you where I had him. So I have Mahomes.
Careful. I might throw this water in your face. So, yeah.
Mahomes. Then I have 8-pointers, Allen, Herbert, Hurts, Burrow. 6-pointers, Rodgers, Lamar, and Lawrence. So is that's 8.
I don't know what these
are. So I have Prescott 9.
Yeah. Oh, you have 9. Okay. That's better than most. But.
And then I have like Cousins, Watson, Jones, Geno, Stafford right after him.
Listen, he said he wasn't
slightly better
to have
than those guys.
10 interceptions. He called it out. He called the number. And so far, he's right. He only had like 8 interceptions in preseason and practices. So good for him. No, PF Focus had him second in standard accuracy. It's so weird how people view Dak Prescott, but I think he's going to be the guy. I'm glad we haven't mentioned Trey Lance. People are losing their minds over Trey Lance, a guy who's going to be inconsequential in this for this
roster.
I don't
understand who are you competing against with the fourth round pick for Trey Lance? Who are the other teams lining up?
What do you mean? Oh,
why did you have to give up anything for him? I thought the Niners were going to have to trade a pick to get rid of him because he had like this guaranteed money.
It's like picking up a piano. Like, no, right. No, you're not going to get money for this piano. I got to take it out of your house.
Right.
No,
yeah, and I have to like pay the movers to take the piano.
Right, right.
Yeah, and no, actually, I'm going to also need a fourth round pick with the piano.
He's a piano man.
I'm doing you a favor.
Right. I don't, if you had a, we talked about this on Against All Odds, how many over under touchdown runs for Lance though? He might be the push E. Which the Eagles?
Oh, you think
famous.
They're going to use him in packages, yeah, like Malik Cunningham?
Because I don't think maybe just like at the 1 yard line. Yeah, yeah, your practice squad hero. But yeah, I don't know. I could see them using him in that regard. But again, I thought Cooper Rush was solid. We know he can win. He went 4-1 last year.
It's ridiculous. These two teams are really good. I think with Dallas, there is a sneaky at the Giants Week 1 game.
Sure.
Followed by the Jets Week 2 in Dallas.
Yeah, New York back to back.
Like 0-2, you're not even on your radar.
No,
for that?
Sure it is. Yeah, okay. Those are tough teams. Right. But we do have the Giants number for sure. Okay. I'll throw this at you. Cowboys' highest scoring team is 16-1. I think we're only a few points off that measure. And like I said, Dak missed five games. So.
I was excited for your number one seed bet, but I didn't like the odds. It was +600.
What was it? Six?
Yeah. I thought maybe if it was like 9-1, I thought that would be tasty. Playoffs -225 seems pretty fair.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 13-1, but you can't. No, Dallas Super Bowl odds are always screwed up. Well, because you're like Red Sox fans, where people just bet it.
I'm good. We can talk regular season. I can't get them postseason just yet.
Do you want to power rank your top five most disappointing Dallas seasons before we move
no,
on?
No, of course not.
You don't want to do that off the top of your
head? Why do I have to do that?
What was the number one most disappointing Dallas season? Romo botching the snap?
Yeah, that was... when they lost to the Giants and they were they 13-3 that year and Eli and Giants went to the Super Bowl and beat your team. It's probably the same year as yours, right? You hated that year.
What about the year when Dak didn't get up to the line in time to run the last play?
Yeah, that was fun.
What team? Who were you playing in that year?
The Niners. And then the Niners last year was when Ezekiel Elliott snapped the ball and got annihilated. Last play as a Cowboy. Yeah.
I want to make fun of Jerry Jones more, but they've drafted really well. They've made a lot of smart moves. Like, it's hard to say.
You look at some of these other teams, like the Cardinals, who don't have anyone left on their team, and some other trend, even the 49ers, bad drafts, you know.
Like, they traded up to get Parsons. He didn't fall to their lap. Like, they made moves, and they went, and they got him. It's impressive. Yep. All right, so here's where it's going to get a little wonky. I also have the Giants in double figures going 10-7 and making the playoffs. They're over under 7.5. They are +172 to make the playoffs, a bet I've already made. They are 3-1 to win 10-plus games. And here's the case. I'm not scared off that they're in the Dallas-Philly division. All right, so they go 1-3 against those teams. The Giants are good. They were 9-7-1 last year. They were slapping things together. You know, it was supposed to be this rebuilding year, and Daboll did such a good job rejuvenating everybody that by the end of the year, they actually had something. They win a playoff game. I thought Thibodeau came on. I liked the draft that they had. The Darren Waller thing's a real thing. Like, I think they're going to unleash that guy. I try not to get too sucked in by the preseason hype, but that guy was awesome.
When?
3 years ago.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
He was supposed to have a huge comeback year last year. There's something weird with his salary.
Guess how many missed tackles he forced last year, Darren Waller?
Not a lot.
Just guess. Guess zero. You'll be right. You want to be right? Guess zero. Not one. I don't know. I think the little weirdness with this team, the Barkley offseason fiasco is not great. I liked them this time last year. I don't know if I picked them to make the playoffs. I like them over. I think they're 7-10. The Daboll thing is, we're going to look back at that. Like, he won Coach of the Year at 9-7-1. You know, I don't know if we're going to see that again. And they were 1-4-1 in division games. So if you think they're going to improve on that, I could see why you might go over 7.5. It's just such a suspicious. It's the most suspicious line, I think, over under out there, 7.5.
Well, there's some terrible rest stuff with them.
Yeah.
They have a hard schedule. I get all the reasons. They're doing AFC East, NFC West. One of the things I like for the over, they play Philly in week 18.
16-18, you said. Oh, yeah, right.
But that has all the makings of Philly doesn't play anybody, right? So if they can, even for the over under, which is 7.5, Let's say they're 7-9 heading into that last week and Philly rests everybody. That could get them to
But 8. Does anyone sit anyone in week 18 now that it's almost always something to play for now? Now that there's only one bye. Like even the Chiefs played all their guys against the Raiders last year.
Yeah, no, it happened last year. I like their pass rush. I like their style.
Mm.
And really, I love their coach. And I thought he was one of the best coaches I saw last year. And I just find it hard to believe they're going to go 7-10.
All right.
I think they're, he replaced especially Joe in this
Judge.
Crap conference.
He replaced Judge.
Yeah. That was your new coach guy last year.
Yeah.
Washington, I have under 6.5.
Oh, House is not going to be happy.
Plus 100.
Same thing.
They finished 8-8-1 last year. They're plus 310 to make the playoffs. There's some weird Washington buzz that I don't fully understand because I think a lot of people watch that game when they beat Philly. I think Ron Rivera is one of the five worst coaches in the league.
Yeah.
And we'll get to another coach that I can't believe people
what about, I think,
don't realize
I think
later.
People are looking at an even more recent game. I hear a lot of people talk about that preseason game against the Ravens where they broke the streak as this is it. This is the moment Washington
turns
it around.
Dumbest thing ever.
Like,
yeah. You're trying.
Oh my
God, you're playing your first stringers
you
in a preseason game.
By the way, they gave up five
quarter.
First downs in the first six plays, that defense. But yeah, I'm not there either. I'm going under. First of all, great. Daniel Snyder's out. That stench is gone. You got Josh Harris, the new owner. No more sewage in the stadium. But it's still Sam Howell and Eric Bieniemy trying to pick up an offense that hasn't been top 20 in 6 years. I just don't see a lot of explosive playmakers on either side of the ball, including Chase Young, who they didn't grant that 50-year option.
Right. So, if Chase Young was good, why didn't they grant the option?
Right.
There was already like that weird Rivera-Bieniemy thing.
Right.
That the season hadn't even started yet. I was looking at him for first coach fired.
Yeah.
They're at Denver, at Philly, at Atlanta, at the Giants, at New England, at Seattle, at Dallas, and at the Jets. So none of those games are easy. They also have Buffalo, Philly, San Francisco, and Dallas at home.
Yeah, they face six games with teams with 12 or more wins.
I don't see any roadmap for them to be good. I have them down for 6-11. They're over under 6.5. So there you go. We're going to take a break. Come back with the NFC North.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mildwürzig, je 150 Gramm Packung, nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
Achtung, es folgt eine wichtige Botschaft Ihres Mobilfunkanbieters.
Ey Mann, es gibt Leute, die drücken immer noch zu viel Knete ab.
Nein, nicht frisch.
Barra ist ja irgendwie smarter.
Ja, smart.
50 Gigabyte für nur 8,99.
Wenig Knete.
Ich zahle doch nicht mehr für weniger.
Nee, das wäre auch schön blöd.
Lebara,
deine Knete, deine Entscheidung.
Nice.
Alle Details zu unseren Tarifen finden Sie unter lebara.de.
All right, Sal, speaking of things I don't understand, the Detroit hype train, their over-under is 9.5. They finished 9-8 last year, finished the season strong. They're garbage on defense last year.
Mm-hmm.
They seem like they're going to be garbage again on defense, but with a much harder schedule. They open things off at Kansas City. They also play at Green Bay, at Baltimore, at the Chargers, at New Orleans, at Chicago, at Minnesota, at Dallas. I don't like overhyped teams that just are riding something that didn't really mean anything to begin with.
Yeah.
I think there's a better team in this division, and I just don't see it. I don't see the Lions thing at all. I don't understand it. I think it's weird. People seem to forget that they're also the Lions.
That has to be factored in.
Three games. What fan base has disappointed their fans over the years more consistently than the Lions?
Right.
And they actually have real hope and expectations this year. I think their offense is going to be good. I get it.
Yeah.
Sure. They're basically like the NFC Chargers, right? But I'm not going to take them seriously.
Yeah. And we talked about in the other pod, like the recency bias. Everybody remembers that week 18 game against the Packers on Sunday night, a Packers team that we all think was bad, but they won that. And it's like, you would have thought they made it the two games into the playoffs. They didn't. Yeah. There's a lot of buzz. I mean, imagine having them at 10 wins automatically. I'm going under 9.5. there's not a ton of room for improvement. They were 5-1 in the division last year.
Right.
So what are they? They're going to run the table to get that number better. And you're right, against an improved schedule, their defense, I know Hutchinson had 9.5 sacks. Their 6th-round pick, Houston, had 8 sacks. But other than that, it's kind of a mess.
They're not going to be able to cover anybody.
No.
So they're playing Kansas City in week one. They're probably going to give up like 38 points in that game.
Yeah. Oh, they'd be lucky. Yeah, it's gonna be tough. They added Gardner Johnson, the safety from Philly, who got banged up a little, and the cornerback from Pitt. But yeah, they have a ways to go, and I think people fell in love with Dan Campbell. The other Campbell, you know, they may have reached on the draft picks too. Like
they took a running back 12th.
Yeah, Jamal Williams had 17 touchdowns.
Like, right,
they didn't need a running back.
Weird use of resources.
They really didn't need a linebacker.
People do like Gibbs, but that's not how I would have used it. I didn't understand it. I don't understand what happened to Minnesota last year. They finished 13-4.
Are we doing Minnesota now?
Well, yeah, Minnesota's next. They lost to the Giants, and everybody has them penciled in for a massive regression. Their over-under is 8.5. So their over-under is 4.5 less than the amount of wins they had last year.
That's dumb.
I'm going under on on that.
Really?
Yeah.
So what are you, 6 or 7, 8?
I'm at 7-10.
I mean,
you're going over?
You said it. It's 8.5. Now, the big number that jumps out at everyone, they were 11-0 in one score games, right?
Yeah.
Can't they be 7-4 in one score games and win 9 games this year? Like, why is that so hard?
I just don't see the talent.
No talent.
Just other than Jefferson and Darisaw, like, I don't know.
Jefferson, Addison is Hunter. Dynamite. He's going to be good. I think Madison is could be as good as Cook. If you look at his games when they weren't splitting time. Madison put up good numbers. Za'Darius Smith leaving is not ideal, but they bring Brian Flores in at DC. I think they're going to be good. They brought the premier cornerback in, Murphy, from Arizona.
I like when we
disagree. I love it. I think they win 11 games. This is
what?
They win this division. That signing of Danielle Hunter makes me think, like, all right, they're serious about this team. Why is everybody sleeping on them? They're going to go 11-6.
That team was a hot garbage 13-4 team that's going to be worse this year, and I have them at 7-10.
Is there something to say about a team that could win one score games? Like, does Cousins get any credit?
Yeah, it's called
being able to.
No, I watched some of those games. They were infuriating.
All right,
they were some of the dumbest losses for the other team I could ever remember.
I know. I didn't like them either, but that 4.5 game regression.
So I have Green Bay as my 11-6 team.
Wow.
They're over under 7.5, plus 350 for the division, 20-1 for the conference. 10 plus wins, plus 250, 11 plus wins, plus 440, if you think I'm right, on FanDuel.
Why do you like Jordan Love so much? Well, nobody liked him 2 years ago.
He's fine. I just thought Rodgers was pretty mediocre last year. There's major Ewing theory, potentially, even though Rodgers won a Super Bowl in Green Bay, but it was so long ago, people barely remember. I just like the team. I think they're loaded with dudes on both ends that were picked in high rounds of the draft. I thought... You know, they finished last year? They were 8-9. It felt like it was 5-12, yeah. But it was 8-9, and they were kind of in, you know, some of those 9 losses too. The Rodgers thing was just bizarre. It was hung over the team like a black plague. And the schedule is just ridiculously easy. I mean, they're coming out of the gate at Chicago, at Atlanta, then home for New Orleans, Detroit, at Vegas, at Denver. Home Minnesota, home Rams.
They might be young, man.
6-1 after the first 8.
Oh, come on. Their draft picks have to contribute immediately.
Have you read about the tight end, Musgrave?
Yeah, Musgrave.
Everyone's going nuts about
him. I know, but did they do him any favors, Jordan Love? Like, they're 4 pass catchers, the number one, like, have 1 year experience at most, 2 of them.
Yeah,
right?
But
Dobbs and Watson.
Well, you like Watson,
ones.
Right? I thought Watson was good last year.
You look at his numbers, I think Rodgers made him what he was. He hit that fly pattern and he was gone. But if you're looking at like 70 receptions out of that guy, it's not happening. Didn't even happen in college for that guy. So
really good,
right.
Running backs, good offensive line.
First 6 opponents, no playoffs. So that's good. But
they have a borderline elite pass rush, probably a notch below the Philly Dallas, but next level.
Defense wasn't great. I think Barry, that defensive coordinator, is out if he doesn't put it together this year. I don't know.
I like Green Bay. Have
him over. I know I'm down on him. I have him at 8-9, but even that's over.
I have for tough games for them. At Atlanta, at Denver, at Pittsburgh, at Detroit, at the Giants, at Minnesota, and home KC. Those are going to be the ones that maybe they won't be favored in most of them or whatever, but for the most part, they're going to be favored in a lot of these games.
The last 4 aren't bad. Tampa Bay, Carolina,
Yeah, I like Chicago. I like the vibe. I like the everything I've read.
All right.
And I think getting the Rodgers thing behind them was good. I'm in on the Packers.
Well, everybody, we talked about in the other pod, everyone's rooting for that result, right? Yeah. Packers to be good.
Bears over under 7.5, which seems ridiculously high. I don't understand that at all. They're 3-14 last year. So just beating the over under would be a 5-win gain.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Moore is good, but come on. People seem to like their draft great. I am still no idea if Justin Fields is a competent quarterback or not.
Why? Because he threw 6 times last year?
Yeah, there's just amazing stats. Lombardi and I talked about it, about they were behind in all these games and yet
still,
you know,
don't throw.
They threw like it was in the top 3 lowest pass attempts for any team.
It was like a 1960s team. I know. Yeah. It was really crazy.
So like, something they didn't like. I hate their schedule to begin the year where they got Green Bay at Kansas City, at Washington, they're playing at the Chargers at New Orleans. Like it's like a weirdly harder NFC North schedule than the other teams, which I don't understand. They do have Arizona near the end of the year, but I just don't think they have any talent.
He threw 318 times. Brady threw like over 700 times.
318 when they were behind really over and over again.
So I don't, I'm with you. I don't know that DJ Moore makes a difference for a team that doesn't want to throw. It's almost like they were like, we were going to trade him, so we don't want to show anybody what he could do with his arm. So don't pass under any circumstances. That defense was so bad.
To be clear, I'm not ruling him out. Like Trubisky, I was out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's been quarterbacks who are like, that guy doesn't have an amount.
Right.
Marcus Mariota. I think Fields, maybe he'll be good, but we just didn't see any evidence that he can play 4 quarters of football and mix passes and running. And I don't see it.
Yeah, it's just odd because 177 rushing yards a game was second best, and it was largely due to him. But yeah, if you can't throw and get the ball down the field, what good is it? And defensively, they generated the fewest sacks. They had like 20. Right. The average was like 40.5. So
this is one of our big disagreements, Green Bay versus Minnesota.
Yeah.
You have Minnesota, I have Green Bay.
I love Minnesota.
We'll see who's right. Let's take a break. All right, coming back, we're doing the NFC South. Sal was looking at FanDuel and noticed that they have odds for a team to score in all 17 games
of
touchdown. That
wasn't public consumption. My God, I can't believe.
So you think
so betrayed right now.
You think San Francisco could score a touchdown in every game?
Yeah, they did it last
year. What are the odds?
It's even odds. I love that. Love it, love it, love it. They have it for every team. Like the Bills are minus 200, you know.
What was your best Women's World Cup bet? Did you bet like...
My best bet was not waking up for most of it. I lost so much before the even qualifying rounds. Disgusting.
All right, the NFC South. New Orleans is the favorite. Plus 130. Their over-under is 9.5. 17-1 for the conference. Minus 188 for the playoffs. I instinctively, in June and July and for most of August, was out on New Orleans because I thought Derek Carr looked kind of semi-shot last year. And I was just, New Orleans is old, the cap, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, I'm gonna go Atlanta or Carolina. And that's where I'm heading. And then Carolina quickly became appalled. We'll talk about them in a second.
Right.
And I just couldn't get there with Atlanta with Ritter because I watched all those games. And I know Atlanta's like the sexy pick. The football nerds are in and whatever. And look at this. And but Meredith is so bad. Is Ritter going to be better than Derek Carr? No. The worst version of Derek Carr, Ritter's not going to be better than. What are the odds that Derek Carr just, maybe he's just better this year. Maybe he needed to get out of Las Vegas. Maybe he wasn't vibing with McDaniels. He's young enough that I could see him going to New Orleans. He's playing a ton of games indoors. They have the easy schedule in the league.
Right.
He's got good receivers. Kamara's coming back for week 4. I talked myself into them. Their schedule is so easy. It's like staggering.
Yeah.
And that was it. I think they go 10-7. I think they hit the over.
I have it even better at 11-6. And if you, I think you and I approach it the same way. You look for the best quarterback coach combination and you're not going to find it. In the NFC South.
You're not
going to find
Dennis things. Allen.
Right. Okay. So even taking the Saints, I'm going to admit that, right? It's kind of a joke. He's 15-38, but I still think Carr is capable. I think they surrounded him with some nice pieces. Honestly, if you're being honest, I'm not talking about Bryce Young 4 years from now. If you want one quarterback on any team in the NFC South, you would take Derek Carr, right? So they gave him the $60 million. You don't need Michael Thomas to be your main guy. He could be the third option.
Well, that's the thing. If Olave becomes kind of semi-special, which I think, he showed a lot of signs of last year. That's the other thing for them.
Yeah. Juwan Johnson's nice at tight end. That Shaheed guy they like. Joe Woods is a defensive coordinator.
They signed our guy Jamal Williams.
Yeah. Jamal Williams, goal line back. So I think they're going to be pretty good. And they have really good secondary with Lattimore and Matthew. They one of the few teams we just talked about that have a good defense. So I'll go defense and quarterback. Not sure about the coach. Gets me to the Saints winning the division.
Well, also, they have a good offensive line. It's not top five, but it's probably like top eight.
Right.
And Carr last year, you know, did not have a good offensive line. They only had one good lineman.
Cold weather games early. I'm looking at that.
Yep.
Only three prime time. You know, under the radar team, they're going to do good.
I write down the hard games for each team that seem hard. And for them, I only had at Green Bay, at New England, at Atlanta, and at the Rams, and at Tampa. And the Rams and Tampa aren't even good.
Yeah.
So you just can't get there. And any, you know, they play Detroit at home. They play Tennessee at home. The schedule, they're playing all the bad teams in the league. And I don't see how they won't go 10-7.
This might be an adjusted, this could be an adjusted win thing for us, right?
Well, I saw the 11 plus wins is plus 210, which I thought was pretty enticing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the one seed is 17-1. That seems a little outrageous, but they'd probably have to go 13-4. I'm not ready to do that, but Carr was good 2 years ago. I don't know what happened to him last year. He looked like a shot boxer.
Right.
And he was just, he just looked like he didn't want to get hit
anymore.
He'll
lose a game that he shouldn't.
Yeah, couple, people freak
maybe,
out.
But I'm too in on Carr. I have over 22.5 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
I have a minus 165. FanDuel has, by division, you could bet who's going to be the top passer by the division. Carr to have the most passing yards in the NFC South. I like that.
Atlanta is next. This was the single hardest team for me. And I changed my mind, I would say 130 times. The over-under is 8.5.
You want to think about it a little more?
I might.
Drink
plus 210 for the division. Last year, they were 7-10. They took Bijan Robinson with the 8th pick, which was just bizarre, but then also kind of awesome.
Yeah.
But it was the one, it was the best spot on their team because they had Tyler Allgeier, they had Cordarrelle Patterson.
1,700 yards between those guys.
So I wasn't looking at that team going, you know what, they need a running back, but he's going to be really fun to watch. Defense, they took Bates from Cincinnati. They added all these starters, whatever. House is excited about it. I can't get there with Ritter. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But from what I saw, and I bet on two of the games, and I just didn't see it. I don't know what he's good at.
Yeah.
So I can't get there. So I have them. I actually have them slightly over at 9-8 because the schedule's
really
so easy.
After that, all that.
I had five hard games at Detroit, at Jacksonville, at Tennessee, at Chicago, and at New Orleans. That's it for hard games. And at Chicago might not even be a hard game, but their home games are ludicrous. Green Bay's their hardest home game.
You know, they have zero rest advantage. They don't have a rest advantage in any game.
Well, because
that kind of matters.
You know what? You know why? Because they play every Sunday.
Yeah.
They're just Sunday in the afternoon, every game. They have
Sunday,
one
1 o'clock. Yep.
They have one London game in week four. But other than that, it's just 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock every week for the rest of the season.
And the Bears and Jets on the road in December is not ideal, I think. Yeah, this is the one that jumped out at me when Mondays come out in April.
Yeah.
I saw Atlanta 8.5. I was like, oh my God. How? Why? Why?
Yeah, that seemed too high.
Nine? Yeah, I know they were gamers last year for a while, but yeah, I'm with you. I don't think Robinson, I think you draft a running back that early if you're one piece away from making it to the Super Bowl, and they're not. And like we said, they had Patterson and Allgeier who were good. I think they screwed up. They had a lot of cap space. They could have gone after Lamar Jackson, and I think they're going to regret not doing so. This is the most hyped non-playoff team in the NFC,
yeah.
I think, maybe next to the Lions.
I don't feel 100% on it. I'll say that. Like if they went 10-7 and Ritter turned out to be a little better than we saw last year, I'm not going to be shocked.
Right. Yeah, well, these South divisions suck.
I just think New Orleans is a safer bet.
Yeah.
But I don't feel good about any of this. I certainly wouldn't bet on it. I will bet on the next thing, though. I think Carolina's going to suck. And once we decided we were doing this Sunday show for FanDuel TV, then I'm super excited about this live pregame gambling show with you and Raheem and House and JJ, we all ended up on this text thread.
Right.
And I was in Boston with my daughter and I was listening to their podcast.
This is like a parent corner, but you're Joe House's
parent. It's a Joe House parent corner.
Yeah.
And House was saying, he mentioned a couple times that Frank Reich was a good coach. And now that Frank Reich is there And we just, it turned into this 4-hour text fight because there is zero evidence that Frank Reich is a good coach. Zero. And including, and then House, who does a podcast this week, and now he's like, you know who could have the worst record in the league? Carolina. And just basically pees all over my Carolina stuff. Frank Reich, 0-4-1 in opening weeks. And
oh, man.
Classic, like.
What
like
did he just, say? I forgot.
Just bet take stealer, Joe House.
Yeah. bet take stealer.
But he went from Frank Reich was the best coach in the. Yeah. Anyway, I'm mad at House. House and I are in a fight. I'm going to deprive him of spare ribs.
So just go under.
But Frank Reich is a bad coach. There's no evidence that he's a good coach. Mm-hmm. He was bad in Indianapolis. They had a different quarterback every year that he brought. The team was underprepared. He was so bad that his owner fired him and hired a guy from TV thinking they'd be better off.
Yep.
And then he goes to Carolina, like quarterback whisperer, Frank Reich. He's a quarterback whisperer. This Nick Foles thing, Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl because the Patriots had Matt Patricia, who's one of the worst coaches of all time in any sport. And Nick Foles looks good. And then it becomes Frank Reich, quarterback whisperer. All he did was run quarterbacks into the ground in Indianapolis over and over again. Yeah. Phil Rivers did the best, and he ended up retiring. Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, Jacoby Brissett, pick a quarterback. They all look terrible. Mm. They have their offensive line was just getting annihilated in the preseason. I feel bad for Bryce Young because I like Bryce Young, and I like this Carolina team last year. I think they're going to stink.
Wow. So 3 or 4 wins, put them in the bottom there?
I have them at 4-13.
Interesting. I had them at 7, but you might have convinced me now to put it at 0. I don't know. And as bad as Reich has been, and you brought that up, but this GM, Tepper, this GM is on the hot seat. Just 5 seasons, 5 quarterbacks, plus hired Matt Rhule. So it's got to work out eventually for this, but how could it? New head coach, new OC, new DC, new quarterback isn't usually a good formula. Well,
remember,
yeah, I'm going under here.
They were 21 up 21-0 against Tampa.
Yeah.
And they kind of stumbled into a recipe. We were betting on them a bunch of times second half of the year, mm-hmm. where they were this power run game, not asking Darnold to do too much. Their defense is actually pretty good. Like I had 6 chippers on the team, Brown, Burns, Thompson, Luvo, Horn, and Chin. Like their defense is going to keep them in games, which is why maybe they get a little higher. I just think they're going to have the worst offense in the league. They have the worst skill position guys in the league.
But they had Thielen, Sanders, I don't know.
Thielen's
chart.
Done. Right. Those guys are done. They have no run game.
I'm with you.
And Bryce Young, rookie QB, just running for his life.
And they got the defensive, like J.C. Horn and Dante Jackson both missed 10 games over the last 2 years. So.
But it's interesting. They blow that Tampa game, and they should have won. Mm-hmm. Wilkes gets fired. The Tampa limps into the playoffs. Your team destroys them. And then Brady retires. Mm-hmm. But like they should have beaten Tampa, and then Wilkes probably stays. I don't know what they do with the Bryce Young pick. Maybe they trade it.
Well, should our overall, before we even get to Tampa, advice for people betting the NFC South be to just sit back for a little bit? I feel like we changed our minds 3 times.
Don't do it.
And the best quarterback in football barely won it, ended up winning it. You know?
I do like New Orleans, though.
Yeah.
So are you in on New Orleans?
Yeah, I
don't
New Orleans
mind
to win the division.
Even odds.
But it's an infuriating division. It really is.
Yeah, this is definitely like, don't throw anyone from this division in a tease because God only knows.
No.
Tampa, they're over under 6.5. I get slight under. I have them like 5-12, 6-11.
I have them 6. Yeah, there's not a ton to like about them. Post-Brady.
Worst quarterback situation in the league, right?
Yeah.
Kyle Trask, Baker Mayfield.
And Baker. Yeah, it's his 4th.
I can't say I'm a huge Todd Bowles fan.
He's definitely right up there for his coach fired. 4th team since last June for Baker. That's almost impossible. And I just don't know what kind of identity. I told you, like, Brady threw like 733 passes last year.
Yeah.
And they had 1,300 rushing yards. So I don't know. This could be it for Bowles. Still big names, which is weird, right? It's Evans. It's Godwin. People get excited for that. Devin White, Shaq Barrett, Levante David.
Worse.
And I don't think I don't think it adds up. I really don't. I have them 6.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it goes the other way where maybe they become a seller around week 5, week 6.
Yeah.
And try to get into the.
They did what the Rams did, right? They mortgaged a future for a Super Bowl, and they got it.
Their schedule, they week 11 to 15, they're at San Francisco, at Indianapolis, at Atlanta, and at Green Bay. So they actually have 6 road games out of 8 going from week 8 to week 15, starting with at Buffalo on a Thursday in week 8. I just think they're going to
be good. Yeah, that's what's killer, because they play a first-place schedule,
yeah.
and they're... projected to come in fourth. Their extra games are Philly, at San Francisco, and at Buffalo. It doesn't get worse than that.
So before we leave the NFC South, what's the highest possible record Atlanta would get and the lowest possible record? Because I really am intrigued by them. Like, I could see them be, if Ritter could just out of nowhere be like what Kenny Pickett was doing in the last four games of last year. Because they are talented. And they can block, and they do have weapons. And I like their coach.
I'm so against them. I have them minus 120 to not make the playoffs.
I'm with you. But could you see them going 6-11?
Yeah, that's what I have.
Could you see them going 11-6?
Nah, I don't know.
Okay.
But this division, like I said, don't be surprised and try not to watch it unless they play your favorite team.
Something worries me about them. All right, we're going to take a break. Last division coming up, NFC West.
Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn. Und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
All right, the San Francisco 49ers, over under 10.5, mainly because of some schedule stuff and some rest stuff. It's just like you look at it, there's five night games for them. They're playing on two Thursdays and two Mondays. Mm-hmm. And they're all over the place.
We have to be very careful with this because people take shots at us because we've wavered with Shanahan. Remember we used to go over his record when he was hovering right around 500?
Who? What people?
Very people on important the people on X. Very, very.
On X?
Not ecstasy.
My X replies?
Probably ecstasy.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, a lot of X replies.
Gotta check the X replies.
But I have no idea. I'm going to come out and say it. I have no idea how Shanahan or Lynch are going to be remembered.
Didn't we pick them to win the Super Bowl and have money on them and we're rooting for them in the what, 2 years ago?
Maybe. That's what I'm doing this year because they're very freaking successful. They're one of the best teams of the 2020s.
Oh, wait. So you're in on San Francisco?
I am. I'm going way over.
I'm in too.
I just read that they were going to win the Super Bowl on our pre-roll or mid-roll, right?
Yeah.
They're winning it.
Because I have them as 13-4.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to have the best record in the league.
Right there with you.
The only thing that makes me nervous is quarterback. But we both liked Purdy last year. That Purdy was pretty good. They are so loaded. My scoring system, they were the highest team with players. They had five on offense. They have seven on defense.
They add Javon Hargrave.
Not to mention Shanahan.
Insane.
They just have guys loaded everywhere. The only case against them would be Purdy just completely shits the bed. Like, completely.
Yeah. How long is it going to take before the Mr. Irrelevant with the UCL injury throws three interceptions? Everyone's like, I told you so.
Right.
Like, that'll
30
be
for 30's coming.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a little scary when Sam Darnold is lurking.
Well, there
seems
like there's some legitimate, like, Shanahan kind of digs Sam Darnold. Like, don't be surprised.
Yeah.
Some Sam Darnold buzz. He's good with
maniac.
Sam Darnold.
He's such a maniac.
I'll never forgive Sam Darnold for that 21-0 Carolina-Tampa when we had the Carolina division money and we had all bet and we had to hedge. We could have hedged at halftime.
Right.
It's like, Sam Darnold can't blow this. I'll never forgive him.
You won't?
No.
We got to figure that out. We got to sort that out.
The only other thing I can think of for them would be just the injuries because of like the lack of rest. Like they're getting crushed on the rest part, which is always a bad sign. Debo, McCaffrey, not exactly like Cal Ripken.
Right. 20 fewer rest days and defense is what usually slows down first. But I just think it's so damn loaded, that defense. And that's why I don't really care who's the quarterback. But I mean, think about what this team has done. Like 3 years ago, Jimmy G's up 10 the fourth quarter in the Super Bowl. They lose. 2 years ago, great NFC championship game. Cooper Kupp goes nuts. Otherwise, they make it back. Last year, they had seven quarterbacks injured in one game. They couldn't beat the Eagles.
Right. So, we'll never even know what could happen.
Yeah. So, you know, McCaffrey turned them around, gave them a boost. But I honestly think they could even survive without him and get to double digits in this division.
Can I make a gambling suggestion?
No, I don't think so.
If you like them for Super Bowl, I would wait a week because I think they might actually lose that Pittsburgh game week one. Maybe bump that to like, maybe it bumps to 0-1, Purdy, two picks.
Ugh.
And then bet them when it's like 12-1, 13-1 heading into week 2 against the Rams.
Yeah.
You know they'll kill the Rams. They play the Giants at home on a Thursday, week three, and then Arizona week four. They'll be 3-1 coming out of those four.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got your team week five at Cleveland, at Minnesota.
It's just an automatic four games against Arizona and the Rams. So we'll get to. But it really.
Yeah. So if you say those are an automatic four, they just got to go 9-4 in the other 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're absolutely loaded. And their schedule's, I got to say, not as hard as I thought it was going to be.
Well, you talked about the 22 rest disadvantage days. But yeah, other than that, they should beat up on a lot of these teams and have a good record going in. And they will score every game, even odds.
They just have too much talent. And I know football, we talk about it every year when we do Guess the Lions, about like that circle of 7-8 teams that can win every year. And you get to the January, and then it becomes like about four, and you need a couple breaks, and they just never got the break when they needed it.
Yeah.
But it's sitting there, and I really like Purdy. And the nerd community is a little down on Purdy, and they're like, there was a couple drop picks with him last year, but I don't know. I liked his poise. I liked his presence.
I don't think they need an amazing quarterback
for the amount of weapons they have. Just they need somebody to just.
That's what's so strange about this team. They don't need a great quarterback. They really don't need a great running back, even though McCaffrey did good things, but they won without him.
Yeah.
2 years I mentioned before. He's a maniac. He took a kicker in the third round after not having first or a second. Nuts.
You like Seattle over 8.5? One of the most suspicious over-unders in this whole thing.
Yeah, it is suspicious. But I hate the dealer's hand so much that I'm going to stay with my bad hand too. Not that Seattle's bad. Over 8.5. Again, I think they win four games against the bottom.
Yeah.
And look, they're big winners getting rid of Russ, right? And then they beat him in the first game of the season and they kept going from there. And I know you don't like to see it, but Pete Carroll, dynamite coach.
Well, I like to see it. I like Pete Carroll.
You won
the Ringer podcast.
Right. I keep thinking.
We beat him in a Super Bowl. Yeah. I love Pete Carroll.
I thought he left the Ringer podcast.
If they go 4-0 against those two teams in the West.
Yeah.
And then they go 5-4 against everybody else. That's 9-8 and they cover.
Weird stuff with the defense. They gave up the third most rush yards.
I don't love
their
defense.
A lot of big plays, like 9 touchdowns with 20 yards or more. But yeah. I think Geno keeps it going, and you can't say enough about Bobby Wagner, what he's getting that guy back. Right.
We talked about him on the fantasy pod I did on Tuesday. That Walker, I thought was really good last year when he was before he got hurt. But Metcalf, Lockett, JSN, the rookie. That's what I've chosen to call him.
JSN?
I'm going acronym. Yeah, that hyphen names I always screw up.
The other rookie, Charbonnet.
And then Witherspoon.
Good defense, good backup for Kenneth Walker.
And then they pick Witherspoon. Mm-hmm. There's two awesome cornerbacks. And over again, those high first round cornerbacks come in and they're usually really good. And they're usually impactful right away, like Sauce was. I don't know if they'll be as good as Sauce, but. Yeah, that seems in that division.
That's a good team. It's almost, what are their odds to make the playoffs? Is it even for them to make the playoffs in the NFC?
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for them not to.
Rams, 6.5. I struggled with this one a little. They were 5-12 last year because I was thinking, would McVay tank? Because we lost money in that game last year when he just decided to win on like a Thursday night with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And it just sends chills down my spine thinking about it. One of the worst gambling losses of the last couple of years. My guess is he's not going to tank early, but then you look at their schedule and it's at Seattle, San Francisco, at Cincinnati, at Indianapolis, home Philly.
Yeah.
And they could be 0-5 after those first five or 1-4. Mm-hmm. And then maybe by the time they get to this at Dallas, at Green Bay stretch in 8-9, maybe they start going, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Let's start packing it. Maybe they shut Stafford down. Maybe Cooper Kupp's got some sort of hamstring. I'm going under.
I don't like betting against teams because of injuries. Guys, like I said, are healthy right now, but I'm betting against Tua. I'm betting against Stafford. He's a 35-year-old with a spine injury.
Yeah.
I think they're winking at him like, hey, you did good for us, kid.
Yeah, thanks
for
the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Take it easy. Don't hurt yourself. Enjoy your wife. Keep her off social media. And you're going to be just fine. But I love the under in a big way. McVay's the only thing getting it. I think great odds, 10-1 odds for the Rams to have the worst record.
Mm.
I really do. And I like them to have fewer wins somehow than this Arizona team. They told McVay that the over-under, they actually told them his over-under wins was 6.5. And he said, oh, man, That was his reaction. Oh, man. And I think it was like,
crazy. We're definitely beating
them. No, I think it's like, oh, man, how do we get to 6.5? That's lofty.
Well, what do they have, like 30 undrafted guys or
rookies? Yeah, it was 26 undrafted free agents. Their draft is a mess. 36 is the earliest they've picked since 2016. So you're going to see Stetson Bennett. You're going to see Brett Rypien in there, I think. And this Rams team is rough. Donald should have retired.
They play all really above average teams on the road, except for Indy. They play at Seattle, at Cincinnati, Dallas, at Green Bay, at Baltimore, at the Giants, at San Francisco.
I mean, no.
And then they have home San Francisco, home Pittsburgh. That's 1-9 just for those 10.
So. I think you're betting the Jersey if you're betting the Rams at all, honestly. Like this
also, what are their home games going to be like?
Right. That's another one. Yeah.
So they'll have all the Philly fans will be there in week 5. All the Pittsburgh fans will be there week 7. That'll be the worst place on earth. Jesus.
Yeah, right.
All the Seattle fans will fly in for week 11.
Well, now it's getting like there's more 49ers fans there.
Yeah,
right?
More 49ers.
Not that they would lose that anyway, that win that.
All right, last but not least, except in this case, there's a huge least. It's the Arizona Cardinals. Their over-under is 4.5, and it seems high. I'm going under. I've actually bet this. I bet the under. I don't see any scenario that they go 5-12.
Why is this even odds at 4.5?
Because I think people are worried Kyler Murray's going to come back and get the ball rolling on them. But
I want to be the only one in the country to go over. I don't even see the wins on their schedule, how they could go over. But I was outraged when they cut Colt McCoy. And then I looked at his last three games. No touchdowns, one interception. Same for all three games. Like, oh, what do I care about Colt McCoy? It doesn't really matter at this point.
Right.
And I know teams don't tank, but trading that Isaiah Simmons was really something else. Like, that was a good player. They got a 7th-round pick.
You thought he was good? It seemed like they didn't know what to do with him. I don't know. I could never
tell. I'm going by
them.
The numbers. Maybe they're misleading, but the PFF. Maybe not a good. But just how many tackles. He just makes a ton of tackles. But anyway, maybe Kyler does come back. I have them winning 5 games.
So I did my player rankings.
Yeah.
As I've mentioned 9 times. They were by far the lowest. I had them with 3 points. I only had them with 2 guys who ranked, Buda Baker and Humphreys, the tackle who came back.
Right.
Other than that, it doesn't seem like they have any above average, close to elite players in their entire roster. So, and I don't know what they do with Kyler Murray down the stretch. All right, so to recap, division odds. You're going Dallas plus 175 NFC East, or are you going Philly?
Yeah, it's more than that. Oh, no, it's plus 175. Yeah, I have them both at 11 wins, so I might as well take the plus number. I'm going my team.
I'm going to take Philly, but Dallas is a better bet. And I wouldn't bet that because I think that's a toss-up between those two. NFC North, you love Minnesota plus 260. Yeah. I love Green Bay plus 350. We'll see.
It's going to be fun.
Going head-to-head. NFC South, we both like New Orleans plus 130.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely gave Atlanta a long look at plus 210, but couldn't talk ourselves into it. And then last but not least, San Fran, we love minus 165.
Yeah. We gave ourselves a break with the 2 West division winners.
So they have exact orders on FanDuel.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, Cardinals in that order is plus 250. Or you can get frisky and go 49ers, Seahawks, Cardinals, Rams.
That's plus 550. That's the one I have written down.
I don't think those odds are good enough.
No.
My favorite of all of these, which is one you won't agree with because you don't think the Packers are going to win the division.
Oh, you'll get good odds on that.
Yeah. Packers, Lions, Vikings, Bears is 17-1.
Should be 50-1.
Don't get snarky with me.
I don't know. But boy, everybody hated Jordan Love, and now it's like, because Rodgers is gone, he's going to win 10, 11, 12 games.
AFC South.
Good luck.
Would you put Colts third or Titans third?
This is the baby dog.
Our Texans, we have third, right?
Good luck to you, Bet, of the trying to figure out the South from 1-4. I had Saints, Falcons, Panthers, Bucks, 8-1.
No, I'm saying AFC South.
Oh, AFC. We're back to AFC?
Well, I was looking at the odds. Oh, yeah, here it is. Titans, Jaguars, Texans, Colts, which I think is the order we like.
We like that.
12-1.
Yeah.
Let's do that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, just bet everything. That one. I mean, that's like the most responsible thing you could do at this point.
I would say don't bet the AFC North and definitely stay away from the NFC South. Although if the NFC South, I guess you could throw in Carolina in fourth place and try to hit it.
Division you could wait on.
Yeah.
Wait till after the season.
All right, that's it, Sal. We've run through the NFC. We ran through the AFC yesterday, and now we're going to run through the season. We can see you on FanDuel on Fridays. What's the show called? Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend?
That's what we settled on.
Got it.
And 55 titles later, we got it.
And then Sundays, Wise Guys, 11 to 12 on FanDuel TV. ET, you, Joe House, Raheem Palmer, John Jastrzemski.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing all of our bets. We're going to be putting on all platforms. We'll probably run until 12:30. That night. Very excited for Wise Guys.
Wow.
I might invite myself on as the first guest of Wise Guys.
Are you going to?
Yeah. And then I figured I'd come on for 2 seconds and then I'd get shot in the back of the head like Joe Pesci.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I'd fake it though. I wouldn't really get shot.
I'd be right there for you, buddy, slamming the payphone down repeatedly. <No.
Yeah>. I can't wait for that. It's great to have you back.
Good job by you, buddy.
Good job by you. All right, that is it for the NFC over-unders and part one of our staggered two-part Sunday extravaganza. Remember, we have part two is going to be Guess the Lines and some leftover futures is going up midnight ET. And you can hear Sal and I on FanDuel TV and watch us. You can see our beautiful faces on Monday morning and Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. doing the AFC and NFC over-under pods. Don't forget about that FanDuel boost as well. Plus 130 on the app. Niners, Chiefs, Eagles, all to make the playoffs. And I will see you later tonight for part two. Thanks to Kyle Creighton and Steve Cerruti for producing as always. And we will see you late night. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. In Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia, you can call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In Arizona, call 1-888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.